Okay, we're picking off the Gemara. Yotes Amud Aleph. We are 7 lines from the top. The words of Besura. So we just had a machlokas Abaye Rava with regards to if you have a schach on top of an achasadra that didn't have the patsimin, if they didn't have the columns. So that was a machlokas. So that was the first version that we had between Abaye and Rava. The Abaye said it's kosher. Rava said it's pasul. So now the Gemara is presenting a different version of that machlokas. Besura Masne Lahashmaita Bahai Lishna. In Surah, that's how they said it. Like we just explained the machlokas. However, Padusa and Pumbedisa, the two main yeshivas in Babel, were Surah and Pumbedisa. So Pumbedisa master, they had the different version of the machlokas. They said that it's the following: Sikech agabe achasadra she'in la patsimin. If someone placed chach on a porch that doesn't have any columns in front of the area of less than 3 tefachim, so then divrei kol psula. So you don't have any walls over there. Then everyone's going to agree that it's pasul. In the previous version that we had, Abaye and Rava were arguing over this machlokas. Abaye said this is kosher. Here, everyone is disagreeing and saying that it's totally pasul. That even Abaye is going to be moda that this case is pasul in this version. Because over here, you don't say pisik or yodra sosim, and it was because of the fact, Rashi points out, that the interior was made for the porch, where no one's going to say and argue that you should say pisik or yodra sosim with regards to the sukkah. Everyone's going to agree that it can't be used as the sukkah walls, this protruding porch. So the Gemara says, however, yeshla patsimim. However, what if it does have these columns? Then Abaye markshir. Abaye is going to say that it's kasher, and Rava is going to say that it's psula. Rava is going to say that it's pasul. Why? Because Rava is understanding that the rule of lavud, which is halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai, applies only to a wall that is meant to be for the place that you want to enclose it in. However, this case, the porch's columns, they weren't made for the enclosing the sukkah. They were made for the porch. So therefore, it's not for the sukkah outside the porch, and therefore you can't apply the halacha of lavud. So the Gemara says, Abaye amar kshira, amirin lavud, and Rava amar psula lo amirin lavud. As we just pointed out, that Abaye says that it's kosher because we apply the lach of lavud, which is mentioned. There's no reason not to apply the lach of lavud. It's within 3 tefach from each other. You could view it as a wall and closing the sukkah. And Rava, as we just explained, is going to say that it's possible because the lach of Shabbat Sinai is not meant for this case. That is the opinion of Rava. So the Gemara now points out, the lacha is going to be it's going to follow the lacha, the first version of Rava's opinion, that the sukkah is only going to be kasher only if it's surrounded by columns within 3 tefachim of each other, and then we're going to pass it like Rava in that circumstance. So that's what Rashi points out, that we're differentiating between the lacha of pisik or yod vesosim and lavud. When it comes to the wall through pisik or yod, that's only enclosing the area which it was meant for, but lavud can be on either side. That's how we're going to paskin. So the Gemara now says, Ravashki Ashka Rav Kahana, Ravashki saw Rav Kahana to come Mesachek al Gabi Achasadr Shein La Patsimin. He was putting schach over a porch that didn't have any columns in front of it. Rav Kahana's sukkah had 2 walls, and then he didn't make a third wall. He didn't have a third wall of a tefach. That is what seemingly was going on over here. So what's going on? How could he not have 3 walls? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei. So Ravashi said to Rav Kahana, he was visiting him, Losever la Mara de Amar Rava. Don't you agree with Rava that says Yeshla Pitzan Patsimin Kshir? If it has columns as your third wall, then it's going to be kasher. However, in la Patsimin Psula, if it doesn't have these columns, the sukkah is going to be pasul. We paskin like Rava. How could you tell me that you're kashering the sukkah? Seemingly, he was holding the concept of pisik or yod vesosim, which we don't paskin like we just mentioned. So Rav Kahana is responding and says, no, Achavilei. Rav Kahana showed him near b'miftim v'shavim b'chut. So he showed him that if you have a picture over here, it's a little bit helpful, that the sukkah is protruding, that third wall really was going further out. So that wall was going further out, so really he did have a third wall. Or it was visible from the outside, you can't see it on the inside, meaning he had this wall that you weren't able to see from both sides. So this column, which is more than a tefach wide, it was going to be the third wall. That is the understanding that he says. The itmar, because we learn out, nirem b'chutz u'shav mifnim nidon b'shim lechi. In regards to a lechi is the we mentioned this a lot of times already, that we have a lechi or a korah is the way when you're carrying a mavoi, which is a mavoi is closed on 3 sides and open on 1 side, and there's an iser derabanan to carry because it looks like it's rishus arabim, but really midaraisa it's rishus yachad. It's a private domain midaraisa. So midarabanan, they require you to see either a korah, which is the beam, or a side post, which is a lechi, as a hecker at the side of the entrance. So when it comes to that halacha of the lechi nekora, the halacha is when it comes to a lechi that's near machutz shem b'fnim nida mishum lechi, that a lechi that's visible on the outside that you can't see it from the inside, that's still considered it's lined up, that's still considered a kasher lechi. And Argir says v'lechi hainu patsimin, Rashi really fixes it to v'hainu patsima. Rav Kahana says that is its column over here. So When it comes to a lechi and a korah, the Gemara is telling us that it's kosher, even though you can't see it from both sides, and that's going to be kosher. And therefore, in regards to sukkah, we should say the same halacha, that it should be, even though I can't see it on both sides, since it's protruding from one side to the other, it's still as a halacha of three walls, and therefore it's going to be kosher. The Rosh has a kasha on this. The Rosh says, what do you mean? When it comes to a mavoi, you have three proper walls, and the lechi is only there as a heker, just a reminder. So why, to show us that it shouldn't look like Rosh Rabbim, that you know that this area is Rosh Hashanah, this is a private domain. When it comes to a sukkah, which requires the third Rama Deraisa, those inside the sukkah, what shaykhs do they have to that third wall? At the end of the day, the third wall is there for those inside of the sukkah. It's not about a heker at all. It's about fundamentally requiring three walls. So the Rosh answers that really Rav Kahana had a tzuras of Pesach. You're making a chiddush over here. That he had a tzuras of Pesach. He had an opening. He had a kanamikan, kanamikan, kanamemtza, tzuras of Pesach. And therefore, that's going to mean the Raisa say that it's anyway a third wall. And therefore, Rabbanan are requiring you to have that extra tefach. Once I already have a tzuras of Pesach, all I need is Midar Banan to have this tefach, so then we can apply it to the similar lachos of Mavoi. So really, he's making a big ukipta over here that this whole machlokas is with regards to this whole din of Rav Kahana is only when I already had a tzuras of Pesach as well. Okay, fascinating. That's what the Rush is going to say, and that's going on over here. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Tana, we learn in a braisa. Psal ayotim na sukkah nido kesukkah. That if you have psal, which is always considered kosher schach, mentioned this lashon. So that is the kosher schach that goes out of a sukkah is like a sukkah. So the Gemara is going to give, I think, four explanations of what this could be. So that says the Gemara, my psal yotzim in a sukkah. What does it mean, this psal that is going to be yotzim in a sukkah? So the first explanation of the Gemara is the following. Gemara Ula gives an explanation, is kadim ayotzim lachore sukkah. This refers to, if you have kosher stocks, this happens a lot, it's protruding over the side of the sukkah, over the edge of the sukkah. You see this a lot. You'll have people, you buy bamboo mats. Those oftentimes are not exact measurements of your sukkah, so that you can't make them smaller because you need to fill up the whole area. So make it bigger, so these bamboo mats will extend past your sukkah. So he's talking about that area. You could sit over that area and still be yotzi your sukkah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But if the Gemara is assuming right now that you're only going to have two walls are protruding from there, it's only the slab protruding from there, maybe one wall, but it's only two walls, it's definitely not three walls. So the Gemara asks, why in a bayin shalosh defanos, you have three walls there. Seemingly, if the bamboo mats are sticking out of your sukkah, there's only maybe one, maybe two walls, definitely not three. So the Gemara says, no, but Dika, we're talking about where there is three walls, that the both walls are protruding beyond that area, the main area that you're sitting in. There is no third wall cutting it off. But the walls are going there, but we're talking about where you have, and therefore you have three walls. So the Gemara says, Vaibayin and Hekshar Sukkah. You have to have the minimum shear of Zion Tvachim. So you have to have Zion by Zion Tvachim. And the extension seemingly is not Zion by Zion Tvachim. So the Gemara says, no, also over here, but the Ika, where there is a valid Zion by Zion Tvachim, that's what we're talking about. The Gemara says, but wait a second, Vaibayin Tzilas and Rubil Chamas. So you also require more shade than the sunlight. So the Gemara says, also there, but the Ika, all three cases, you have all three of these requirements. So which Gemara then says, but wait a second. If I have all these requirements, I have three walls, I have Zion by Zion, and I have Hamasim Rebbe Tzilasa, so then the Gemara asks, so then why in the world does the Hava Mina assume that this should be possible? This is a fully kosher sukkah. What was the Hava Mina assume that this is not kosher? So the Gemara answers, not the same, because I would have thought, since the walls were initially made for the inside, the main area of the sukkah, the Raila Avide, they're not made for the extension which is outside the sukkah, I could have thought that we could argue that the extension doesn't have kosher walls, and I would have thought that it's different. Now, I'm asking, why would you see that way also? L'chora, this is pashut based on the Mishnah on Yudzayin that we mentioned, that when you don't have the kavana for the sukkah, but you have the kosher schach extending, then the schach is kosher. So we mentioned by Delphan Akum, we got into this, so why is there a havamina? Not that way, but that's what the Gemara mentions, that there's a havamina that you would think that this is basel, so therefore, kamash malan, the Bryce is in fact teaching us that this is kosher. Okay, so that was answer number one. We have four answers. Now we have answer number two. Rabba Rav Yosef Ritavayu. We mentioned whenever you say Ar Ritavayu, 99% of the time it's going to be Bar Pluktas. Rabba and Rav Yosef are always arguing with each other. So Rabba and Rav Yosef, they agree to this halacha. That's why Ar Ritavayu. They both said, Hacha Bekane Meyotzin Lefnim in a sukkah. Here we're dealing with a case where you have sticks that go out of the sukkah. Umashka Ve'azla Chada Dopen Be'adayu. And one wall is extending with them. All you have is one wall extending with them. And therefore, over here, that's the chiddush over here, that the schach is continuing to be kosher. So the Gemara says, I thought that's kosher, ha leis behechsher sukkah. You don't have the requirements of a sukkah, so why don't you have the requirements of a sukkah? Because you don't have the third wall, l'chora. You don't have another wall. So the Gemara, I would have thought that since one of the walls doesn't have reach end of the schach, the other wall is viewed as dependent and not have three walls. So the Gemara says, kamash malan, that really, that this, the chiddush over here, that the protruding wall is not regarded as a separate area of the sukkah, and therefore it's kosher, even though the shorter wall doesn't reach that end of the schach, that the schach goes further for that part of the schach, that's going to be okay. Now the Gemara gives a third explanation. Rabbi Bar Elchanan Amar Biyochanan. So Rabbi Bar Elchanan said in the name of Biyochanan, Lo Netzrecha Ela Sukkah Sheruba Tzilasa Meruba Mechamasa. The Brisa is teaching you with regards to a sukkah that generally has a majority of shade and sunlight, so totally kosher. However, Mi'uta Chamasa Meruba Metzilasa. You have a minority where there is more sunlight than shade, a whole patch of area. So it's not two different versions of a picture over here. The Kol Alasha version is just a strip in the middle of the sukkah. I saw there's that had a picture with a circle. So whatever it is, it's a whole patch, a whole certain area is. You would have thought that that area is puzzle. You would have thought that this area should disqualify the whole section and be puzzle. Kamash Blan, the Brisa is teaching you that the sukkah is in fact kosher. The schach is viewed as a single entity. Therefore, it's valid totally, including this small section, which has more where it has more sun than shade light coming, which is a problem. So that's the shayla in the Rishonim over here, is do we apply this halacha even if the whole area is measuring a zayin by zayin tfachin? You could argue that that's a significant shear, that's a real shear, that's going to be a problematic. If you have a whole zayin by zayin empty space in the middle of your sukkah, maybe that could be a problem, even if you have tilasa merubah chamasa, which is normally good. Maybe that area will in fact be problematic. That's machlokas Rishonim. But that's what the answer of Rabbi Yochanan is. So the Gemara says, so my yotze, what does it mean, the lashon of going out in the brisa? Yotze mehechsher sukkah simon alacha, that it's referring to that this part of the schach is not, it's deviating from the standard lachas of sukkah. It's really puzzle area, but since it's batal to the whole sukkah, then it's going to be kosher. That was the answer number three. Now we're up to a fourth explanation. The fourth explanation is based on the brisa. Rabbi Yoshia Amar lo netzrecha ela l'schach puzzle pachos b'shulsha b'sukkah k'tana. The brisa is needed only with respect to a you have a strip of invalid schach less than three tefachim in a small sukkah. So the Gemara says, "Umay yotze." So, and it's in a small sukkah. I would have thought maybe even there it's going to be puzzle. However, it's not. So says the Gemara, "What does it mean that's yotze? Yotze mitorah sukkah. It's also deviating from the standard halachas of sukkah. That the Gemara is using a stronger expression of than it's heksher sukkah. Why is it different? Because Rashi points out that this is because the reference over here is that things that is fundamentally puzzle. The Gemara is dealing with things that were just not in the right area, so that's why it's more of a problem over here. Mam is using puzzle schach. So the Gemara says, Maskifel Rav Yoshia had a question. Lo ye ela avir. But the invalid schach shouldn't be worse than empty space. An empty space in this sukkah of zayin by zayin, avir mepachash lo shachat sukkah, ketana mi puzzle. Empty space less than three tefachim is going to be totally fine. So why do I need this havamina? The brace is seemingly pushed according to this explanation of Rav Yoshia. Seemingly, you don't need his explanation. It's pashut that it should be totally fine, because if empty space, which is always worse than pasul schach, we've always mentioned, is better than having empty space, so then kol shake in this case should be lechora totally kosher. So my answer is Amar le'abayir. Abayir responded to Rav Hoshia. He's responding to Rav Hoshia. Zeh mitarf yeshnam tachta. The pasul material over here is combining with the kosher schach to make the minimum shear, and you're allowed to sleep under it. However, zeh mitarf ve'en yeshnam tachta. Whereas the empty space combines with the valid schach, you're not allowed to sleep under the empty space. So therefore, that's a big chiluk over here. So that is a big chiluk over here that we have over here between kosher schach and pasul schach. That's a halacha lemaisa going to be very important. That when it comes to a open space, it's usher to sleep under the open space, even narrower than three tefachim, both in a sukkah gedola and a sukkah ketana. When it comes to pasul schach, though, if it's a large sukkah, so then if it's four tefachim wide, it's going to pasul it. But if it's small sukkah, less than three tefachim, it's going to be okay. But when can you sleep under it? Lachor, you can sleep under it when it is, even if it's up to four tefachim in a large sukkah, lachor, it's machlokes Rishonim, but that's what we're going to assume. And in the case of a small sukkah, if it's not three tefachim, that's the difference when it comes to that. And you'd be able to even sleep under the pasul schach and be fine. That is what the opinion of Rabbi Abba is coming to answer that chiddush over here. So Gemara says, "Imika midi de itstarfayu mitstarif v'lu atzma inu kasher." Is there such a thing? Is there such a concept of that? That you have something that combines with other materials to create a halachic sukkah, yet itself is not kasher. How could that be? How could you say that the empty space is combining with kasher schach to create a sukkah, yet the person is not able to sleep under the open space? This open space is going to be problematic to sleep under, yet it's fulfilling the zayin tefachim. Again, it's less than three tefachim, but you're not allowed to sleep under it. How could that be? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Al-Yashiv. Yitzchak ben Al-Yashiv said, I'll find you an example of that in halacha. And what is that? Turning on to the examen now. When you have tit hanarok yochiach, if you have mud, which your Eibar Rashi says is very liquidy enough to be able to be poured. So then, that's Mitzaref L'Arba'im combines. We know that a mikveh has to be a minimum shear of 40 suz of kosher water to be not drawn water, to be part of your mikveh. So when it comes to this mud, if you have 39 suz, let's say, of kosher rainwater, and that it wasn't drawn, and it's in your mikveh, and you have one suz that fell in of this mud. And so this mud comes in, it's mitzaref to the shear to make a kosher mikveh. So mitzaref atovabal also lo atol also lo tefila. But if you immerse in a totally a mikveh that's full of mud, the mikveh is 40 suz, is entirely liquid mud, that's going to be pusel. So we see over here that if you're using the mud to make sorry for sure it's kosher, but itself is pusel. So that's very similar to the case over here. The gap less than 3 tefachim itself is pusel to sleep under, but it's mashim the shear of a sukkah. That's his comparison between the case of mikveh and the case of sukkah. Tosos is very bothered by that. If you look at the Ramaskal Tis and Yerukil Chiyaf, they have a different explanation of the Gemara, but we'll go Shitas Rashi. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Now the Mishnah says, "Osa sukkaso kimin tzrif." If you make a sukkah like a hut, so I saw in the collection over here, we have like three different pictures in Rishonim. Based on the Rambam Perusha Mishnayot, it's like a classic, like a triangle hut that the classic ones that we think of. According to Rashi, it's more of like those circle huts, like that you combine everything in the middle and top, you tie it around with like a rope, and you have a no roof on the edge. Either way, it doesn't have a proper roof. So those are, let's just go with Rashi, the Rambam. Those are two explanations of what this type of hut is. Or you just have like a bent wall leaning into the your sukkah is leading onto another wall. So you don't have a proper roof. Rabbi Lezer posop nation in lagag. Rabbi Lezer says that it's possible because it doesn't have a roof. Chachamim makshir and chachamim says that it's going to be kosher. The Gemara is going to discuss what the machlok is all about. So says the Gemara. First, let's clarify Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Tana, we learn Tana taught the Braisa. Mode Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer is going to agree. She'ime gebia mina karka tefach. If you raised it a tefach off of the ground, if you raise the case, in the case of the Mishnah, he raises the hut one tefach of the ground, or the case of the thing leaning against the wall, if you raise it across the ground, then when you do that, you have now made it to be closed. You're going to have the lach of lavud, and now you also have an area of a recognizable roof. So in a tefach oshik biyam and a kotav tefach shik shira. You distance the tefach of the wall, it's going to be kosher, because in this case, in both these cases, you have now allowed us to have a case of lavud to show that the gap is going to be closed, and now you have a roof. And therefore, since you have a tefach wide gap in the roof, that makes it recognizable that it's going to kosher a kosher sukkah. So that's the case of Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara explains my time at Rabbanan. So why did Rabbi Lazar make sense? You did have a roof in the sukkah. Why did Rabbanan say that you don't need it? Because Shepu'alim call them Danmu. They hold that when it comes to a roof which has a slope on it, that's also like a roof. So therefore, in the case of the Mishnah, even it's a slope, and it's still on a slope, it's still viewed as a roof halachically, that once you have 10 tefachim, that's a shayla. You need to have 10 tefachim lechora from the slope. Once you have 10 tefachim high from that slope, that's considered the roof, and that would be a kasher according to Rabbanan. So the Gemara says now, Abaye Ashkechal Rav Yosef, now we're just a story, that Abaye saw Rav Yosef, that he had a sukkah, de bekilas chasanim besukkah. He was lying in this canopy of a chasanim that was like the bridal bed that they had. We mentioned this kilas chasanim before. It doesn't have a proper roof, a proper sloped roof. So lechora, according to the chachamim, if again it wasn't made of kosher materials, so that bed is going to be a chatzitza between him and the sukkah. So how could it be that he was sleeping in such a thing? So then Abaye said to him, Abaye asked him, come on, who are you paskining like? Ki Rabbi Eliezer. So that's the way I just read it, is the way that many Rishonim learn it. And the Mechamos learns like that. However, Tosos, earlier in the Gemara Shabbos, Tosos talk about it. Tosos learned it, he asked him, come on, who are you holding like? And he responded, Ki Rabbi Eliezer. That I paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. The Baal Mechamos says that it was all part of the question. Let's go with that. That he's asking him, come on, Rabbi Eliezer, you're paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? We have halacha of yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim, that when you have many and a lot of people and a das yachid, we don't paskin like the das yachid, we paskin like the rabbim. How are you, Rabbi Yosef, sleeping in this bed? Again, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, this kilas chasanim is pasul to be a sukkah, therefore it's not considered valid material. It's not a chatzitza between you and the other sukkah. It comes out lakula over here, because he's not sleeping under something that's considered something that's a chatzitza between him and his sukkah. However, if you hold like Rabbanan, that a kilas chasanim fundamentally would be kosher material, so then it's a chatzitza, and it's not kosher material that he's using as his schach, it's considered an oel between him, it's considered another barrier between him and the sukkah, and it's going to be possible for him to sleep in this bed. So he's only passing like Rabbi Lezer, which Rabbi's bothered by this. He asks him, Shafka, Rabbanu, Avadik, Rabbi Lezer, you're leaving the majority opinion of the Chachamim and you're passing like the Yachid? We don't do that. We pass the Lacha, Yachid, Rabbim, Lacha, Rabbim. How are you passing like Rabbi Lezer? Amar Lev Yosef responded to him, Braisa Ipchatani, I found a Braisa, which is the opposite of these Shitas. Rabbi Lezer, Machshir, Rabbi Lezer says that the Sukkah is going to be Kasher, Rabbi Chachamim posts them, where Chachamim say that it's Pasul. So this Braisa is following Shitas Chachamim, so I really am following Shitas Chachamim. But he said, wait a minute. The Mishnah said that it's Rabbi Lezer, and the Chachamim are that way. That's our Yusra of our Mishnah. So he asked him, Shavka, Masnisim, Bavarika, Raisa, you're leaving the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, but the Girsa of the Mishnah was that it's totally Kosh, that it's totally Pasul, according to Rabbanan. And you're following the Braisa, which says that that's the Shita of Rabbanan. But our Mishnah has it, the Girsa, that it's Rabbanan, say that it's not Kosher. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef responds, Amar Lai, Rav Yosef responded, Masnisim Yechidahi. Our Mishnah is a Yechidah, it's only a Shita of Yachid. It's also a das Yachid, and really the Braisa is the majority opinion. How do I know that? Because the Gemara says to Tanya, Ha'osa Sukasa Kamin Srip. You make your sukkah the shape of a hut. Oh, Shisam Kalakosa, or you leaned it against the wall. Rabbi Nasan Omer that it's Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer, post mission like Avacham Mashir. To which Abaye is being Madaya, because Rashi points out that only Rabbi Nasan is the one who learned that way. The Braisa specifying Rabbi Nasan learned that this is Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer, Chachamim, implying that everybody else thought that it really that the Chachamim would agree that such a case would be fundamentally puzzle, and Rabbi Lezer would say that it's kosher, and that's the version that they had. So Rabbi Yosef is saying, I'm following the Chachamim according to my version as well. How do we pass? It's a big shaila. Do we go like Rabbi Yosef? Like at the end of the day, by good questions, our mission seems not to go like why it's a big shaila in Shulchan Aruch. But that is a question that we shown him. How do we pass in Lachal Mais? Do we go with Rabbi Yosef's rebuttal of Abaye, or do we go like Abaye? Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah about different things that could potentially be a problem for things of schach. Says the Mishnah, Machzelas Kanem Gedol, if you have a large mat made of reeds. So Asa L'Shchiv, if you make it for purposes of sitting on it or sleeping on it, Mekabalas Tumah, then it's Mekabal Tumah, and therefore you can't use it as sukkah, as schach. However, if you made it specifically for the purpose of L'Sikuch, for covering a sukkah, Masachlin, but you're allowed to cover yourself with it, Ve'ena Mekabalas Tumah, and it's not going to be susceptible to Tumah. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lazar disagrees. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Achas Ketana Ve'achas Gedola, whether it's a mat, is a small mat or a large mat, Asa L'Shchiva, if you make it for sitting on or lying down, Mekabelas Tuma, and it can be susceptible to Tuma, Ve'en Misachrim Ba, and you may not cover yourself with it. L'Sikuach, if you make it for covering a sukkah, Misachrim Ba, you can cover yourself with it, Ve'en Mekabelas Tuma, not going to be susceptible to Tuma. So the Gemara is explaining that Rabbi Lazar is explaining that he disagrees. What exactly is machlokas? How do you get the machlokas? The Gemara is going to explain that. Whether it's big or small, the Gemara is going to change it around a little bit. So let's get into the Gemara's explanation. So the Gemara says, "Hagavakasha." First, analyzing the Tanakhama, they seemingly with Minei Obey inside their own sheet, it seems to not make sense. Why is that? Minei Diuk, the implications of what they say is problematic. Well, how is that? Amar Tasa L'Shchiva Mekabelas Tuma Ve'in Misachin. But you said that if you make it for reclining and susceptible to Tuma, and you're not allowed to cover yourself with that sukkah. Now they use it for the schach. Taima Tasa L'Shchiva. Why are you specifically out of mind? They're using it for sitting on it or sleeping on it. So Stama L'Sikuach. But what is your implication generally that you use it for a covering of a sukkah? However, Hadar Tani, then the Tanakhama said, Sikuach Misachim Ba'in Mekabelas Tuma. Only if you make it for the purpose specifically of making it for Schach. What does that sound like? Taima, that the implication implies, the Asul Sikuach. Only because you had in mind that you were specifically using it for a Sukkah. However, if you do it Has Tama L'Shchiva, the general implication is that you generally use it for sitting on it, for leaning on it, for lying on it, and those cases would make it possible. So what is your stam das? The Tanakhama is contradicting yourself. What is the general assumption of a person who's making this mat of reeds? What is going to be the din? So the Gemara answers, Halo Kasha, this is not going to be Kasha, Kan Begdola. Here we're talking about the Tanakhama is concerned only with the large mat. When it comes to a large mat, only if you have specific das, you designate it, does it going to be susceptible to Tumah? Because that's the general das is for sukkah gedola for gedola is for sukkah. For a big mat, you're not lying on a big mat. However, katana, a small mat, is normally used for sitting on and leaning on it or sleeping on it. So then you need specific das to make it for a sukkah. So that's a chiluk that according to the Kama, we have a good chiluk. Gedola is stam das for a sukkah. I need specific das to make it not for a sukkah and make it susceptible to tuma. And the opposite is true by katana, that my stam das is that I generally have it for sitting and reclining, and therefore that would be an issue if I do if I make it for those purposes. But if I make it specifically, let miskila mitzchila for sukkah, then it's going to be kasher. So So now the Gemara must take out the next time shift. It's in parentheses, but you could just read it in. It's the same kavana. Bishlo Rabbanan lo kasha. Rabbi Elazar kasha. So we explain it. Rabbi Disnan. So that Rabbi Elazar, that we just answered for the Rabbanan, but Rabbi Elazar is also the implication of Rabbi Elazar seemingly astira. So if you fix the girsa based on other girsas or the other Rishonim, it's all going to be the same. That we would just explain that the Rabbanan are good, and the question is now on the Rabbi Elazar. Disnan, Rabbi Elazar learns in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Elazar, Omer achak shanav achak dola. It doesn't matter. Asa l'shchiva, if you do it for lying down or sitting, mekabelas tuma bein mesachim bayit. It's mekabel tuma. It's tzedav l'tuma, and you're not allowed to cover your sukkah with it. Taima da asa l'shchiva. Rabbi Elazar is saying his reasoning is because the person made it for the purpose of sitting and reclining on it. Hastam l'sikuch. This implies that if you made it without a specific use, then it's going to be kosher. Ema seifa, but the hemshich of Rabbi Elazar says asa l'sikuch. If you make it, you're covering for a sukkah. Then it depends. If you make it for a cover, it's not mesatavu tuma. Time of asal esikuch, because you had a specific das, you're making it for a sukkah. Hastam l'shchiva, that implies that the general specification is that when if I'm using it with stam das, my stam das is making this mat is for sitting and sleeping on it, and the mat's going to be kosher. So the same problem with Rabbi Elazar. Which is it? Which is the stam das according to Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara says, oh, so let's answer Rabbi Elazar. Allah Amar Rava. Rava says that therefore we have to have a different interpretation of the whole Mishnah. What's the interpretation of Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? Bigdola, when it comes to a large mat, kuliyam alopligi distam alisikuach. Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim both agree that it's made, if you don't specify what it's made for a covering of a sukkah, it's going to be kosher. However, kipligi bigtana with a small mat, that's the machlokas, Tanakama. So now we're reinterpreting the Tanakama. We originally thought that the Tanakama would agree that a small mat is going to be assumed for leaning down and lying down on it. However, now we're fixing it. Tamakarsar stam ktan lo shchiva. The small mat is also meant for a lying down on it. Rabbi Elazar savar stam ktan lo nam lesikoch. Even the small one is meant for covering a sukkah. So he's more makil. So v'hachi kamar. So this, according to Abaya, is what he meant to say. According to Rava, is what he's coming to say. So v'hachi kamar, turning on to the next one. Now machtelas hakanim gedola, regarding a large mat. Asa l'shchiva, if you make it specifically for lying down, mekabelas tuma, then it's going to be acceptable. Tuma ve'imisachim ba, and you're not allowed to cover. You're not used as a valid covering for sukkah. Taima da asa l'shchiva. Now that's the reason, because you specifically made it for uses of lying down. Hastama, but you're stam das when you're specifying what you're using it for. Nase kimi sha'asa l'sikuach. You are. It becomes as though you made a covering with a sukkah masachim, but therefore you can cover with it. So this applies only to the large ones. The small ones are going to Tanakama, are going to be puzzle. So let's usually skip the parentheses. The Marshal takes it out. So go v'asa Rabbi Elazar. Now Rabbi Elazar is continuing, and he's saying achat ketana. Achas ketana v'achas gedola. Both the small and the large mats, stama is k'sher l'sikuach. Both are going to be valid for the sukkah. So the Gemara says, a problem on this. Amar le'abaya. Abaya has a question of Rava's explanation. Yachi, if that's the case, Rabbi Elazar is saying that the large and the small ones are the same. Rabbi Elazar, Omer achas ketana v'achas gedola, achas gedola v'achas ketana v'alei. How is the order that he said it? It should have said in the Lashon, should have been starting out with the mat is large or small, since Tana Kama agrees to a large mat and the only machlok is about a small one. Why are you saying achas ketana v'achas gedola? It should be achas gedola v'achas ketana. The chiddush about the small one should be mentioned second. So that's you should mention over here. So according to Rava, this is seemingly very problematic. So the Gemara answers, and also another problem before we get to the answer. The Gemara says, V'od, another problem with this machlokas Rabbi Elazar Tanakama being like that. So that you, if you're going to say like that, that the machlokas is about a small one, so with Rabbi Elazar saying that he's mekil, ki pligi, bigdola hu de pligi. But if the case they're arguing over the larger one, Rabbi Elazar was the one who's bore machmer, the sign that we learn in Braisa, that says explicitly, machselas akadim, if you have a mat made of reeds, bigdola mesachin ba, in the case of a large one, you can cover it with a sukkah with it. Rabbi Elazar, omer, im eno mekabelas tuma. If it's not susceptible to tuma, mesachin ba, you're allowed to cover with it. Rabbi Elazar is implying that if one makes a large mat without telling you what the purpose is, he's seemingly using it for lying down and your purpose of sitting, and it's pasul aschach. So therefore, it can't be that's what the machlokas is. The chor of the Tanakama is arguing the bimar making. We see Rabbi Elazar is more machmir over here. Rava had it as Rabbi Elazar as being more machmir. So therefore, the Gemara says Ela Mara Papa. So the Papa comes out to a different answer. Biktana, when it comes to a small mat, kuli alma lo pligi distama l'shchiva. Rabbi Elazar and Tanakama are going to agree that he made it without specifying why he's using it. That it's used for sitting and lying, and that's going to be possible for schach. Ki pligi bigdola, where they're arguing is in regards to a large mat. Tanakama sever stam gedola sikuach. And Tanakama holds that a stam das of a person, when it comes to a large one, you're using it for a sukkah, and it's going to be kosher for schach. Rabbi Elazar sever stam gedola nami l'shchiva. Rabbi Elazar holds even the bigger ones is the machlokes, and he's going to be machmir. So machmir over here, even for the bigger ones, are going to be a problem. Umay also l'shchiva dekamar. So what does it mean when the lashon that he said he made it for lying down? Rabbi Elazar had said in the lashon of the Mishnah. So what was his lashon? So the Gemara says, this is what he's saying, stam asiyaso nami l'shkiva, that also the large mat is meant for lying down. Ad the avid sikuach, until you specifically make it for the purpose of sikuach, you specifically make it for the purpose of a schach. So that's what the assumption over here, that when Rabbi Elazar says aso l'shkiva, he means that the main purpose of the mat of any size is for shkiva, and therefore it's set up to tumah, it's going to puzzle as schach. Okay, we'll pick up with the Tanur Rabbanan and the Hemshecha, more discussion of usage of mats, Bezer Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.